Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
There was a book that came out in 2018. It was called Atomic Habits. Anybody ever read that book? It was considered one of the best-selling self-help books that have come out in recent years. It sold over 20 million copies. I gave away some copies. It's a secular book, but it has some really good principles in it. And one of the principles that the guy talked about, his name's James Clear. He talked about three ways to make changes. And he said it was almost like an onion, outer layer, and then the next layer, and then the core of it. He said, you can do this. He said, you can focus on the outcome. So a lot of people do that with goals. I want to change this, and I'm going to use a couple of things that always people talk about, quit smoking and lose weight. Now, when I'm mentioning quit smoking and lose weight and you're in church, don't get this idea that, you know, smoking is just horrible, and if you smoke, you go to hell. If you're a believer in smoking is not going to send you to hell. It might get you to heaven quicker than you want it to go, but it's not going to send you to hell. Well, we had a retreat years and years ago out at what's now Margaritaville, and it was a marriage retreat. And Joy and I stepped off the elevator, and there was a couple there that was at the retreat, and the lady saw me. She had a cigarette. She put it behind her back. She kind of cupped it in her hand. So I stood there for a while. I mean, smoke's rising all up behind her. I finally said, darling, you might want to bring that out and put that out before you burn yourself, because I know the ashes had probably dropped in her hand. But she was so embarrassed that the preacher saw her smoking a cigarette. And so, if you want to smoke a cigarette, as long as you're not doing it in my car, in my house, or in the church, we're good, okay? You do it wherever. It's not healthy, but a lot of times people want to stop it. So that can be a goal. Here's the outcome. I want to quit smoking or lose weight. That's the other thing. Or you can focus on the process. The process is, what do I do to do that? Like I guess you can still get a patch. You can reduce the amount, you know, cut down by one cigarette a day. If it's losing weight, you can start a diet or start some kind of clean eating, however you want, that you focus on the process. The other one is what he said is the most powerful way to change is to focus on the identity. Now, we talked about identity last week. It's deciding what you want to become. And so he said, if you start there, that becomes the core of how you begin to make a change. And so the change was, instead of going, I just want to quit smoking cigarettes, or I'm going to focus on getting something to help me stop, is you start with, I consider myself and I identify as being a non-smoker. Or if you're losing weight, that I am a healthy person. I'm a clean eater. The author said he had a friend that lost 100 pounds who started with the idea, said, I am a healthy eater. And then she asked herself the question, what would a healthy eater do? Well, you make a decision. Is it the burrito or is it a salad? And she said, well, a healthy eater is going to eat a salad. And so that became the process. She identified that way. I'm a healthy eater. I am a non-smoker. So that becomes the core of how you begin to make changes. You begin to identify along those lines. So I looked at that and I thought, I think there's some wisdom there. But I think we can look at it from, that's a secular perspective, and it's got some power to help. But how about from a biblical perspective? We can focus on the outcomes. Let's take one. One that a lot of people deal with, a lot of people, like most everybody. How about stop worrying? And I rest my case. So you can focus on that. I want to stop worrying. If you ever tried that, that's difficult. Just to go, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. And then you're worrying again. And then you go, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to take my mind off. I'm not going to worry. You're focusing on the outcome. Or you can focus on the process. Now, I have taught this before. I believe in this process, but I believe there's something even stronger. Let's look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7. You know this one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anyone ever heard this? You know this is considered one of the most popular verses in the Bible, period. People look at this one. But this is focusing on the process. So here's the process. We can see it. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God for help. And then I'm going to thank Him for an answer. That's a good process. That will work. But I think sometimes what we've done is we've taken scriptures and what I call spot cleaning. I was cleaning something the other day and had a spot on a shoe and I'm cleaning it. And it said, when you're cleaning it, it says, don't just clean the spot, clean the whole surface. And I think sometimes we've taken scriptures and we've focused a scripture on not worrying, or we've focused a scripture on, I'm not afraid. I'm not going to be in fear. Joy said she used to quote, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. God hasn't given me a spirit. That's not working. And I think there's something even stronger for that. We talked about it last week. It's focusing on our identity, who we are. So what if we added this? We focus on who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ. How about this? I'm calm and controlled. I'm strong and not fearful. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you can begin to say, I'm a strong person. Christ strengthens me. I'm strong in Him. Let's add to that. How about, I have the peace of God. I am a peace-filled person. John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This is Jesus talking. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, and just in going, okay, I have to have the peace. Go, wait a minute. I'm a peaceful person. I have the peace of God. So now we're talking about something different. Now we're talking about identity. How would a peace-filled person act? How would you act if I had peace? I hear a situation, I have peace. How am I going to act about that? But I'm identifying with who I am in Christ. I told a story, it's been a while, but I've told a story that a friend of mine, Keith Moore, tells about a man who came to him one time and wanted to quit smoking. And he said, he came and he said, Keith, would you help me? I want to quit smoking. He said, but I can't. He said, I'm addicted to nicotine. I'm just addicted to nicotine. He must have told me 5 times that he was addicted to nicotine. And Keith said, well, will you do what I tell you to do? He said, don't tell me to throw away my cigarettes. He said, I've thrown away so many cigarettes, and then pulled back around and looked through the ditch and found them again. And he said, don't ask me to do that. He said, no, I'm not going to ask you to throw away your cigarettes. He said, but every time that you pick up a cigarette, he said, I want you to say, thank God I am free from smoking. He said, but I'm smoking. He said, I know that. He said, but just go ahead. Now, what he's basing this on was Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what actually Keith was doing is he's beginning to help him identify with being someone who is free. So I'm identifying with freedom, the freedom that I have in Christ. Instead of identifying with, I'm trying to quit smoking. This guy kept saying, I'm addicted to nicotine. He said, I want you, every time you pull out a cigarette, I want you to say, thank God I am free from smoking. He said, I'm smoking. He said, I know you're smoking. He said, just go ahead. He said, and every time you put one out, say, thank God I'm free from smoking. Every time you light one up, say, thank God I'm free from smoking. And he said, but I'm smoking. He said, I know you're already smoking. Just go ahead and say this. He said, will you do that? He said, well, he said, you've tried everything else? He said, yeah, might as well. He said, he came back 2 weeks later. He walked in. As soon as he walked in the door, his face lit up. He said, here we go. He said, so he came. He said, Keith, honestly, He said, when you told me that, I thought you were crazy. He said, I thought it's ridiculous to say I'm free from smoking when I'm smoking. He said, it got to be a habit with me. He said, I'd light one up. Thank God I'm free from smoking. Thank God I'm free from smoking. Throw one out. Thank God I'm free from smoking. He said, I was standing on a corner and I threw one out and said, thank God I'm free. And it hit me. And a revelation that he was free, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made him free from the law of sin and death. He said, I am free from smoking. I have not smoked a cigarette in 2 weeks. I'm completely free. What did he do? Keith got him to focus on his identity in Christ as a free person, not as someone who is addicted to nicotine. Did you catch that? That'll work for smoking, work for pornography, work for overspending. It'll work for any addiction, any habit that you're working. Did the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus make us free from the law of sin and death? Is that a reality? Is that something that belongs to us? If you're a believer, it belongs to you. So what we're talking about now is finding what belongs to us in Christ, and that's where we put our identity. See, here's the challenge, guys. We identify way too much with all of our weaknesses. We identify with our problems. We identify with our past. We identify with what's happened to us. We identify with the trauma that we've gone through. And I'm not trying to diminish your experience. All of us have had experiences. Sometimes people look at me, well, you have no idea what I've been through. You're right. And you don't have any idea what I've been through. Listen, everybody's got a story. And I don't know anybody that grew up perfect. I don't know anyone that hasn't had some level of dysfunction or some level of trauma in their life. But if we're going to keep focusing on the trauma and the problem and the brokenness, it doesn't move us toward an answer. And so what are we going to focus on? It's different. And this is where our identity in Christ makes such a difference. Because who we are in Christ looks a whole lot better than who we look on our own. I can hear your wheels just spinning and turning. So the big difference between secular and believer. The secular advice is decide who you want to be. Someone said, I decide I'm going to be disciplined. I decide I'm going to be organized. But that's based on the power of you. Believer's advantage is to discover who you already are in Christ. That's based on the power of the truth of God's word. It will require a conscious shift in our focus. Now, the interesting thing about the Bible likens itself, James likened the Bible to a mirror. I'll just read it. It's not on the page. It said, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James was likening God's word to a mirror. When we look in a mirror, a natural mirror, just a regular mirror, it shows us who we are outwardly, correct? This is not a trick question. If you have a mirror at home and it's not distorted, will it show you who you are? I mean, if you ever looked in the mirror and went, whew. Yes. And if you haven't yet, just wait a few years. You'll get there. You'll look and go, oh, whew. The mirror shows you who you are. God's word is also a mirror, and it shows you who you are in Christ. Now, the beautiful thing about the mirror is my mirror at home, I can't change it. It is what it is. But when I look into this mirror and see who I am in Christ, it transforms me. This is the mirror that changes who I am, and it begins to change how I look. And when I look in here and I see that I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, then I don't see a weak man anymore. When I look in here and see that I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me, then I'm saying, thank God in Christ, I can handle anything that comes my way because I'm in Him. Does that make sense? You see, so here's the thing. This is where we need to focus our time. Because I was talking with a friend the other day, and he looked at me, he said, Alan, he said, we're all broken people. And I understand what he's saying. All of us have, but I don't, when I look in this mirror, I don't see a broken man. When I look in this mirror, I see someone who is a new creation, a recreated being, made in the image of God. When I look in this mirror, I see someone. Remember I told you to take a look at Ephesians? We looked at that last week. Ephesians. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When I look in this mirror, I see a man who's blessed. Not cursed. Not destined to fail. Blessed. Oh, I look better in this mirror than I do in the one at home. When I look in this mirror, I see someone who's chosen in Him. That I can live before Him wholly without blame. This mirror shows me spiritual truth. And listen, we spend a lot of time looking in the ones at home. We spend a lot of time talking about where we're weak or where we're broken or where we failed. I get it. All of us have had things. And you've been through trauma. Some of you have been through some horrible things. Things that should have never, ever happened to you. But what God has done in you is greater than anything that's been done to you. I'm going to say that again. What's been done in you by God is greater than anything that's been done to you. So, Alan, I was abused as a child, and that's horrible. Should have never happened. Never was God's plan. But what He's done in you is stronger. And so if we focus on that, that begins to change how we respond to things. Where are we looking? Outward or inward? So let's just go over this, some pretty basic stuff. Let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So the Bible separates two. Outward man is perishing. As much as I know people are trying to find the secret of aging and trying to beat aging, no one's going to beat it. Now we can get better. And my generation, I promise you, will do everything they can to make old age sexy. It ain't going to work, but We're going to try. But regardless of what we're doing, take care of ourselves, regardless, the outward man perishes. But the inward man is renewed day by day. How many of you know when we get to heaven, you're not going to be deficient? You believe when you get to heaven, you're going to be broken? I don't either. Because it's the inward man. You know, we're going to leave this body behind. One day we're going to get a new one. Looking forward to that. No wrinkles. No weight gains. No tired. That's going to be a good day. We're going to look at one another and go, you look good. You're like, you look good too. Then you're going to see Grandma. You're like, whoa, Grandma. You look really good. We're not going to be old. Are you? Oh, we're not going to be old in heaven. You ever think about that? You're gonna look at your grandmother and go, man, you look good. You think, she wasn't old all her life. You meditate on that and this thing. Outward man, inward man, the focus is of what God has made. That's the eternal part. The visible or the hidden person. Look at this, 1 Peter 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Stop. This is where the Pentecostals went nuts. And he told women they couldn't dress certain. Anybody raised, but I won't embarrass you. But anyway, you can't wear jewelry. Some people can't wear jewelry. They had to wear all kinds of clothes. It is not your clothes. That is outward man. Because if you look at this, don't let your adornment be merely outward. If you look at that just literally, you don't wear clothes. And here you need to wear clothes. Yeah. It said, neither let it be the hidden purse, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So, visible or hidden. The visible is limited. The hidden person of the heart is amazing. Look at Ephesians 2. I love this. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. That word workmanship, some translations have listed as a masterpiece. When God recreated us, none of us were made deficient. None of us were an accident. None of us were a mistake. We're God's workmanship. Now, we don't get to puff our chests out and go, I'm a masterpiece. I don't know about you, but I'm a masterpiece. No, it's all the glory goes to the Lord. But listen, it doesn't glorify him to call yourself a broken, weak, defeated person. That doesn't glorify him. And he's like, he'd be like, I paid an awesome price for you. I paid a lot. And so what glorifies him is to say, Lord, this is what you say I am. Then this is who I am. Now, again, we're surrounded by everything that reminds us that we're not this way. This is why we have to spend time reading Bible 365, because everybody at the Ark reads Bible 365. But even more than that is what I'm gonna keep talking to you about, and I'll be here next week because I want to talk about this. I want to talk about meditating in it. Not just reading it, but reading it and beginning to take it and beginning to talk and to begin to see yourself in it, where you take time on a verse. See, what we look at most is what we're magnifying. Look at what God has done for us in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, that's true. We're blessed. Now, let me ask you a question. What if tomorrow morning you got up and you went, anybody a coffee drinker in the morning? You say, Alan, I bet you don't even need coffee. No, I need coffee in the morning. Joy and I don't talk till coffee has been doled out. And so you have a cup of coffee and you're having a cup of coffee and all of a sudden an angel shows up in your room. You're like, and you drop your cup of coffee. You got hair standing up on top of goosebumps. And the angel says, peace. And you're like, okay, good. And then the angel looks at you and says, this is a message from the Lord. You are blessed. And then disappears. How would your day be? You would have a good day. You would walk into work and go, and I'm blessed. I am so blessed. I am blessed. You're driving to work. Someone could pull out in your lane, slow down. But you're blessed. And you bless them. Bless them, Lord. Give them a brain so they can learn to drive. Bless them in Jesus' name. Bless them. Did you have a good day? Someone says something to you, but you're blessed because you are now conscious that God says you're blessed. The Bible said this is actually a more sure word than if an angel shows up. So you could actually read that tomorrow morning, read your coffee, drink into your coffee, and more than any angel, you could read that and go, Lord, I want to thank you. I am blessed in Christ. I'm blessed. So you put a big smile on your face, go, how would a blessed person act? How would a chosen person act? How would a forgiven person act? How would a accepted person act? I'm accepted in the beloved. If I'm accepted in the beloved, I'm not worried about whether people accept me or not. I'm accepted by him. If I'm favored by him. But we have to put our focus there. This is why Joy and I have been talking about this. I know we talk about how we change mental patterns, and you can change mental patterns. You can change some of the mental patterns that your mind goes. The challenge is, this is, and as we begin to focus on who we are, then we begin to catch those thoughts that are condemning and critical, and we begin to go, that's not me. But that's not me. But you got to know what the truth is before you can catch a lie. You've got to be able to say, no, here's the truth. And so the truth, the enemy will say, no, you're broken and you'll never get fixed. You're not fixable. And the truth is that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, including overcome the trauma of your past, including overcome the hurts and the damages. Listen, I by no means, I want you to hear me, I by no means do I mean to diminish anything that anyone has done or has had happen to them. I'm just encouraging you to focus on what God has done in you, because it's better and stronger. And if you focus on the better and the stronger, that is your way out. If you keep focusing on the broken, it's not a way out. It keeps you in that same condition. People say, I'm just addicted, or I'm just this way, or my personality is just this way, and I'm this kind of personality, and this is where I am on the, what is it, Ideogram, or I'm a drive, the personality profiles, there's a whole bunch of them. I don't want to limit myself to that. Not when the scripture says something different. And so, you know, my heart for you is Paul's prayers. And if you'll notice in Paul's prayers in Ephesians and Colossians, he's praying for not that so much that God would do something to you, as he's praying for revelation that you would see what's already been done. And so his prayers are along the lines of, Father, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of your power towards them that believe? He's praying for revelation. God, show them. Paul never prayed for people to be blessed. He prayed for them to see. And so one of the things that I pray for you all the time is that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would walk worthy of him. Why? When you get filled with the knowledge of his will, you begin to walk in a manner worthy of him. When you find out that his will for you is good and not bad, when you find out that his will is he's made you his workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus, then you begin to walk worthy. When you realize how much he loves you, it begins to change you. And you begin to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all perseverance and long-suffering. See, a lot of times I'm trying to live the Christian life, I'm trying to get this right, I'm trying to do this right, instead of saying, God, you have done something good in me, and because you've done something good in me, I now have the capacity to live this life. Not start with, I want to do all these things, but start with, this is what God has done in me, and because he's done this in me, and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace can flow out of me. Virtue and self-control and knowledge and godliness can flow out of me because this is who I am. It's different if this is... Who is it? Is it a child? We got an Amber Alert? All right, it's time to pray anyway. Father, is this a missing child? In Austin, Father, in Jesus' name, give the authorities wisdom to find this child safely, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you listen so well, it's 8 o'clock, it's time to go, even though it's light outside. we're going to stop, or the children's church people will kill me. Bow your heads just for a second. If you're here this evening and you say, you know what, Alan, you're talking about what God's done in you. I don't even know what God's done in me or if he's done anything in me. But I sure wish he would. Or maybe you're saying, I used to, walk with the Lord, and I've gotten away from Him, and He knows it. I know it, but I don't want to live there. I want to come back. We're going to pray. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. We're going to do it right there, right in your seat, right where you are. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you, would you acknowledge that by saying, Alan, would you pray for me? Hands, just slip your hand up real quick. Say, I need to know, or I need to come back. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Appreciate that. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to, you can still get in on this prayer. We're going to pray it with you. It's a church family online. Pray it out loud. If you're by yourself, if you're with others, quietly say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer here, those who prayed it online. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done in them. It's a marvelous thing, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.